Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thursday's edition of Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today, and glad to be with you on this beautiful sunny day. A little windy out there, and the wind is going to be continuing. There's actually a winter weather advisory that's on for Friday from 4 a.m., starting at 4 a.m. this morning until 7 p.m. on Friday. The rest of today is calling for increasing clouds with highs around 27 degrees and gusts of wind around 40 miles an hour downtown and Douglas especially, and also windy tonight. Snow coming tonight with accumulation up to 3 inches, lows 15 to 25 degrees, and locally windy with snow tomorrow, snow accumulation 2 to 4 inches, total storm accumulation 3 to 7 inches is in the forecast. And some windy weather again, still 40 mile an hour shifting winds happening tomorrow. It's sounding a little epic out there. Snow showers in the forecast for Friday night as well. Then heading into mostly cloudy skies with scattered snow showers for Saturday. Got a full show for you today, including the Frugal Cyclist's Guide to the Universe. We're going to be talking to Willie Weir, who's going to be doing a presentation tonight at the Rockwell Ballroom as part of Cycle Alaska, bringing him to town. And we'll talk to John McConaughey from Cycle Alaska as well. There's going to be an Easter egg hunt happening at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. We'll talk to folks about that. Also, a poetry slam coming up Friday, 6:30. That's going to be at the Downtown Library. And Nancy DeTourney will be here to talk to us all about all the arts stuff happening on Arts Up on this Thursday. We'll get to that in just a minute. First, here's National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Canada's prison investigator says Aboriginal offenders make up a quarter of the federal prison population and are incarcerated longer than their non-Aboriginal counterparts. Dan Karpinchuk has more.
The report from Howard Sapers was clearly directed at the federal government of Prime Minister Stephen Harper for how it deals with First Nations people who are behind bars and for failing to keep them out of prison in the first place.
If I were releasing a report card on Aboriginal corrections today, it would be filled with failing grades.
Sapers says about 1 in 4 inmates in federal institutions is Aboriginal, but he says programs to help those very same people in the justice system aren't getting enough money. Sapers says the problem has been largely ignored and allowed to get worse over the past 20 years. He says the public safety minister has the authority to transfer Aboriginal inmates to community facilities and to healing lodges, but that power is not being used.
The overrepresentation of Aboriginal people in federal corrections and the lack of progress to improve the disparity in correctional outcomes continues to cloud Canada's domestic human rights record.
Sapers says the government must increase financing significantly to deal with Aboriginal offenders, and more money must be spent on education in Aboriginal communities, something Native leaders have agreed with. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Many questions surround old Department of Defense barrels in Lake Superior being studied by a Wisconsin tribe. What happens next with the barrels is unclear. Mike Simonson reports.
9 barrels exhumed in 1990 and 1994 showed low levels of contaminants from top-secret grenade parts, but nothing explosive. That changed when 25 barrels were raised last summer by the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe. Project manager Julie Molina says about 15,000 flash drive-sized active cluster bomb detonators were inside 22 of those barrels.
If it went off in your hand, it could do serious damage up to perhaps taking off the hand. But the larger concern was if one were to go off and it were in proximity to others, it would cause a chain reaction.
Because of federal regulations, the detonators were returned to Lake Superior's bottom until they can be safely removed this summer. But will the other 1,400 plus barrels be dredged up? Molina says that depends.
If moving the barrels would cause greater ecological harm than leaving them in place, it's going to examine both sides of those issues to determine what would be the best in terms of ecological protection.
Red Cliff Tribal Elder Leo Lafernia says they want this mystery solved, but that may not be up to them.
Whether all 1,400 barrels are to be retrieved, if the department is going to fund right now, we don't know.
So far, the DOD has paid Red Cliff $3.3 million to locate, remove, and study the barrels. For National Native News, I'm Mike Simonson.
Native Americans are among those celebrating the new leader of the Catholic Church.
I was overwhelmed by one of the first things that Pope Francis did. He first asked for prayer and blessings from the people. just seemed it was not about him. It was about serving his people.
Deacon Joe Herrera from New Mexico says there's a renewed faith in the church among many Native people since last year's canonization of Native Saint Kateri Tekakwitha.
Now they feel a part of the universal church. And now that we have our first Pope from the Americas, I mean, that's significant in itself right there.
Pope Francis of Argentina was elected Wednesday in Rome. During this week in 1907, Chaco Canyon National Monument was established to preserve and protect Pueblo ruins in New Mexico. It was later expanded and designated a National Historical Park. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use PIC-CLIC-GIVE when filing online for your PFD. When you select KNBA-FM, Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, you support National Native News. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
I want to ride my bicycle.
I want to. Well, don't we all want to ride our bicycles? Days like this, you start thinking about it, then you hear the snow forecast and you say, no, not yet. But Willie Weir is with us right now, who's author of The Frugal Cyclist Guide to the Universe. It's a presentation happening tonight at the Rockwell Ballroom that Cycle Alaska is helping to put on. Willie, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
And John McConaughey from Cycle Alaska is here as well. John, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. And Willie, you're from Seattle. Tell me a little bit about the kind of just general idea behind this. It sounds like a really cool way of approaching it, the Frugal Cyclist Guide to the Universe.
It's actually tales from my book, Travels with Willie, which is the name of my column in Adventure Cyclist magazine. So I've been writing a column for that magazine for the last 15 years. And frugal cyclist, I mean, that's, I've always been that. When I left for my first trip when I was 19 with my buddy Thomas, I sold a 64 Pontiac Tempest for $400, and that was the complete budget I had to get across America. And so what I find is that if you want to have adventure, forget about, you know, looking into the guidebooks or whatever. Just decimate your budget. You will find adventure.
Yes.
Because hotels are out, whatever. I mean, really, if you just get, or maybe get robbed before you leave, you know, then, because it'll happen. And it's kind of been that way throughout the route, because I went from being in college to being an actor, which meant I actually took a pay cut.
Yes.
And then from then on, so it's always been, has dealt with dealing with a very small amount
it
of money.
It seems like the way to go if you're bicycling anyway. I don't know many luxury bicyclists. I mean, is that even
yes,
a thing?
Oh, yes, you do.
Is that a thing?
I used to lead bicycle tours for a bicycle touring company.
Okay.
Right? And people who take those trips.
I mean, so like a gourmet trip through some place
yeah,
or something like that.
Even the semi-gourmet trips.
Yeah,
people are paying, literally people would pay for a seven-day trip that I led what I would spend in 5 months on the road. And I call it buying time. I mean, you can either buy, if you do it frugally and have a tent with you. And carrying a tent with you is the great budget equalizer, because you can travel anywhere in the world and kind of keep your budget about the same place, because usually it's lodging that is going to be the killer, right?
Yeah, right.
So when
and you
you're
don't have to
worry
about fuel if you're on a bicycle,
exactly.
Right?
So if you're in Southeast Asia and lodging is, you know, $8 a night or whatever, well, the tent stays on the bike well. But if you're, I mean, when I was in South Africa, lodging was expensive. The only time I spent 5 months there, the year after Nelson Mandela was elected president, and the one time I stayed in a hotel, a man paid for it.
Oh, that's all right.
And he paid for it because I'd met his daughters, who were 16 and 17 years old. They brought me to the farmhouse, and he came up to me and took me aside, and he said, you know, I love what you're doing. And it's just great. He said, but my wife and I are going out to dinner tonight, and if you think I'm going to leave you alone here with my daughters, you're crazy.
You're getting a hotel room.
Exactly. So he drove me in his Bucky's pickup truck, and he went down, and he paid for my hotel room.
That's
very
good.
Sweet guy.
Good story. Good story. What are some other tips for frugal cycling? Obviously, bring a tent. That's number one, maybe. But what are some of the other ones?
Well, I mean, for people having adventure, not necessarily just frugality, but I tell people that you can't plan an adventure. And I talk to people all the time who are just, they're at home and now with Google Maps and the internet, people find themselves looking at every day, the distance and where we're going to stay. And now if you got warm showers or what's the other organization, the couch surfing, you literally can have your lodging set up. And you know, if you know where you're going to stay and what you're going to eat every day, you're not on an adventure. You can have a great trip or whatever, but adventure is what happens when that stuff falls apart.
Yeah.
You knock on maybe it's when you knock on that warm showers place and the person isn't there.
Right.
There's a note that said, sorry, had to leave town unexpectedly. And that's when adventure does happen.
Yeah.
And part of it, too, is that if you over-plan a journey, you don't get to have that opportunity when you end up having people just approach you and say, wow, you're on this bicycle and we're getting married up on that mountain. How would you like to be a guest at the wedding? What?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. And if
you've
got a plans the next night, that doesn't happen.
Do you find that people have common misperceptions about what a bicycle trip is going to be like? Someone's planning a multi-week bicycle trip or something. Do you find that people, what are some of the common misperceptions
people have? Especially if they're couples and two people involved, it's part of it is answering the question, why are you doing this? What kind of adventure are you looking at? I mean, are you going to Romania so that you can know the culture and the people? Oh, great. Oh, yeah, we're going to cycle 150 miles a day. Sorry, no.
Yeah, right.
You're going to have, you're not going to be able to do either. And so what happens is that there are some people that, my first trip across the U.S., I learned so much about my country, but we were averaging 72 miles a day, and mileage was very important because for me on that first trip, I was 19 years old. I didn't know if I could make it. I really didn't. I wasn't an athlete. I mean, I was the captain of the bowling team. You know, I not big
athletic.
Hey, that right arm, strong. That is not a Letterman jersey you wear, even if you earn it. I will tell you that. Hey, not gonna do it. So, but that journey itself became a little more internal. It was more about how we could do it, but the people that we met were incredible. Now that I've cycled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mountain passes and all places, I don't care if I go 2 kilometers. If there's something if there's a person to meet, if there's something new I haven't seen, if there's music to be listened to, for me, the bicycle, I'm not an avid cyclist. I'm just an avid traveler who happened to discover the vehicle that I wanted to spend the rest of my life using to get there. I mean, I call it the last form of innocent transportation. There's something about a bicycle that because you yourself are vulnerable, the rest of the world is willing to be vulnerable with you. And there's a risk with that. And a lot of people don't want to take risks. I want to be guaranteed to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry.
Yeah.
Now, even if you go in your little bulletproof armored Popemobile, there's risk.
Right.
But the bicycle does put you out there, and because it does, people, you're so much more approachable. And that's how you're also moving at a speed that it's very easy to stop. So you end up talking to more people. You end up having those conversations. And that's what travel's all about, in my opinion.
Do you find during these kind of long trips, do you ever reach breaking points? Do you ever reach low points where you feel like, okay, what? Why?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I traveled in India for 5 months, and people kept asking me, where are you going to go? And I said, well, I'm flying into Delhi in December, and 5 months later, I'm flying out of Delhi, and that's all I knew. But, Delhi, very fascinating but crazy city, and the sun was setting an hour and a half early because of the pollution. It was that, and I remember just the insanity of cycling out of that city of, at that time, 8.4 million people.
Right.
Wondering, I've planned to be here for 5 months. It was literally, they say, India assaults your senses.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of the most fascinating, terrifying days of my life. And there was that love-hate relationship with India almost every day because it was so intense. I loved it and hated it all at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's people always ask me if there's one place or if there's a place I need to go back, and India is the first place.
It's not a passive place to travel through.
It is not.
Yeah.
It's not. It shouldn't be anybody's first trip. I think, just as far as advice, you might want to, head to Canada first,
just
or
be
whatever.
A little you're gonna more just, seasoned
yeah,
first.
Yeah, if you want to kind of work your way into the travel, especially on a bicycle. Because, I mean, on a bicycle, when I had come into Rajasthan, I would get surrounded by 3 people, 5 people, 10, 50, 100. Sometimes as many as 500 people would surround me and my bicycle, and it'd be the first traveler in that little village. Because everybody gets on the bus and goes from Jaipur to Jaisalmer or whatever, and all that. That's 4.5 days on a bicycle. So all the travelers are absent. And you always know when you're on what I call the travel tunnel. Because in India, if a kid approaches you and says, one rupee, you know that you're in an area where the travelers, the tourists are. And you only have to get one half of 1 kilometer away from that area, and the kids will come up and say, namaste, good morning, sir. So it's you get to see a part of the world that, that people who travel different ways don't get to see very often.
Is there a most intense experience you can remember? I mean, that sounds like an intense experience there, being surrounded by hundreds of people. But is there other kind of intense experiences you can relate?
Yeah, I'll relate a little bit. It's it, part of it is in the show, but my wife, who was my fiance at the time, we were beaten and robbed in Albania. And
so there's the risk element, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. I mean, there was... That was 90 seconds of my life that I don't ever want to relive. And there was a moment, and because it was one man with a very large knife and two men with clubs, and there was a moment I remember when my brain clicked over and said, they're not going to stop, as I was getting, you know, pummeled. And that, when we got home, when we got safe and we ended up having to go to Tirana to get new passports, and because we'd lost our bike, our bikes we still had, but we'd lost a bunch of other stuff, and that was the most important decision we made right there, was to continue.
That was the next question I was going to ask.
When that happens, and you feel so vulnerable and violated, and you want to leave. I mean, if like get on the first bus, train, UFO, get me out of here. And we had enough. Fortunately, it took 2 days to get new passports, because I think we would have left. That might have been our last bike trip.
Yeah. That's...
And we sat down and we looked and we said, you know what? We can't let these thieves steal our sense of adventure. They got our passports and they got journals and they got whatever. And so we sat down on the bed in the hotel room we were sitting at, and we looked at each other. And for the next 4.5 hours, we told stories to each other about the rest of our journey. And you watched the balance of that fear. And as fear started to dissipate, it needed to be diluted. Because at that point, the fear, you could literally taste it in your mouth. And by the end of the conversation, I can't tell you the fear was gone, but we were ready to continue.
You're able
and go
to
on.
Make a little more rational kind of decision about it.
You know, unfortunately, I have a partner who was able to come to that decision as well.
Sounds adventurous as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for relating just a small part of what people will be able to hear tonight at your presentation tonight. It's happening at the Rockwell Ballroom. It's at 5:30. It's only $10 to get in. And again, the Frugal Cyclist Guide to the Universe. John, this is part of Cycle Alaska, bringing in a number of different speakers, right?
It is through the winter. We started this last year, last winter, and it's all been local people to this point, but we got introduced to Willie. But the local presentations have been incredible, what people have done. We spoke of a couple of names earlier.
Yeah, Mike Sakaris, KTO's own Mike Sakaris, and Ann Fuller.
Their wonderful trips, Eric Olson, Alice Tiernan and Scott, J.P. Zamoran. I mean, there's a list of folks in town that have just done some amazing things, and there's short presentations and what they have done as far as how they've put the material together, it's done very professionally and engaging. We typically have 10 to 15, 25 people coming into those. And
so take note, Willie. This is a crowd that's used to professional presentations here, okay? So,
Adventure is all about facing fear.
That's okay. I don't want to. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have. Yeah. Well, Willie, we're great to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming in. The presentation once again tonight at the Rockwell Ballroom, and it's at 5:30, $10 to get in. It's the Frugal Cyclist Guide to the Universe with Willie Weir. Thanks again for coming in.
My pleasure.
To talk to you. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl. I've a pretty señorita waiting for me down in old Mexico, and if you're ever in Alaska, stop and see my cute little Eskimo. Oh, my sweet Fraulein down in Berlin town makes my heart start to yearn. And my China doll down in old Hong Kong waits for my return. Pretty Polynesian baby over the sea, I remember the night when we walked in the sands of Waikiki.
Great to talk to Willie there, Willie Weir, presenting tonight on his many travels. Coming up next, the Easter egg hunt happening at the Zach Gordon Youth Center, and Donnie and Jesse from the Zach Gordon Youth Center with us right now. Donnie, Jesse, thanks for coming in.
Hello.
Tell us about what's going to be going on there at the Easter egg hunt. I guess I can gather it's going to be an Easter egg hunt.
You're right.
That's pretty obvious. So tell me about some of the plans you guys have for doing this.
Well, this year is our 29th annual Easter egg hunt, so we definitely
29th?
Yep.
Yes.
Wow.
29 years.
That's
We've
amazing.
Got it down to a science now.
I would say so, yeah.
So, and since we've had such a great
all the mishaps
turnout,
are behind you.
Oh,
all the
absolutely.
Terrible Easter egg hunt mishaps.
Yes. I heard long ago they used to use real eggs and the ravens would have a blast.
Oh, that is true, right. Mm,
yes.
Yes. The ravens' favorite holiday.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jesse, I interrupted you there, but go ahead.
No, this year we've got 7,000 eggs that we are going to hide. Yep.
7,000 eggs?
7,000 eggs.
And what's the area that you hide these eggs in?
Well, so the event is held at Thunder Mountain High School.
Okay.
And so we've got three main areas for the different age groups. So we've got the tots, 0 to 4, in the football field area.
Okay.
And it's a little less challenging for them to find the
sure,
eggs.
Sure, but
know.
Still, it's good. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Find an egg, you've really accomplished something. Yeah.
And then yes. We've got the 5 to 7-year-olds in front of the high school, kind of around the rocks there, and they have to work a little bit harder. And then for the 8 to 10-year-olds, we hide them behind the high school and really make them
really
search.
Tough. Yeah. Yeah, that's the challenge,
yeah.
The advanced area.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
And so how long does this take to do to hide 7,000 eggs?
Oh, my. Let's give it a whole 2 seconds. Well, I guess hiding takes a little more. We probably take about
a couple hours
to hide the eggs. On the other hand, when the kids find the eggs, I'll give that about 2 seconds.
Really, they just go out. They have they just have radar.
They're
sense scoping.
The whole event is probably a few minutes after it starts.
Is that right?
We prepare for it for months and months, and then everyone is in their car. You know, about 20 minutes after the hunt begins, because the kids are just that. Good.
They're good at it.
Yes. All you see is smiles and candy wrappers.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So what's in the eggs? Yeah, what do you put in the eggs?
They're little toys and little candies that go inside the eggs. And each kid does go home with an extra gift, which is like a little special prize bag. And there's an activity book in there, a pencil, erasers, and more candy, of course.
Yeah, fun. Some little trinkets and toys.
Yeah.
How do kids have to sign up ahead of time? How do they do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so we have pre-registration going on now, and that's good until March 29th. And you can also register the day of the event, and that is going to be from 9 to 9:30.
On March 31st, right? Is that right?
March 30th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it's Saturday, March 30th.
Saturday. Okay, it's not on Sunday. It's Saturday.
No, it's
okay.
Saturday.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday,
sure. Okay.
March 30th.
Okay.
And it begins at 10. If you pre-registered, you get there around 9:30 to check in. And if you need to register, you can come from 9 to 9:30 to register.
Okay.
The event is $5, which is very awesome.
Sure.
Very affordable. And they will just come in and check in at the tables, get their prize bag, and then the kids will meet at their designated hunting areas.
Now, you say it's been done for 29 years. Do you know the history of where it used to be done or through the years where it's been done and all that stuff?
Yeah. In the past, we've held it at Floyd Dryden, and
okay.
We just outgrew it, you know, and now that we have it Thunder Mountain, we are able to separate the age groups, and the big kids don't trample the toddlers.
Yeah. Yes.
And
very important.
It's just, it works really well. Yeah.
It's a rite of passage, though, as a toddler, to be trampled during an Easter egg hunt, isn't it? These toddlers today are coddled.
Not this year, hopefully.
Yes.
But we will also have an Easter bunny there for some photos, and so bring
the
your
Easter
camera.
Easter bunny's going to be there?
He's going to be there.
I love the Easter bunny.
Yes.
Is it the big yellow Easter bunny?
He's gray.
Gray? Yes.
just like a real bunny.
Looks like a real bunny? It's not a real actual, it's not a real bunny, is it?
It's no. A life size.
It's
bunny.
It's a big, big, huge Easter bunny.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Definitely.
That's exciting to meet the Easter bunny. Is this an Easter bunny? Now let me ask you this. Does this Easter bunny talk?
I don't think so.
See, I've met Easter bunnies, they don't talk.
Yeah.
They pantomime.
Uh-huh. Yes, they wave and
they
smile.
They wave, they're happy.
Yeah.
Happy.
Usually, our Easter bunny dances.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So
that's a must. If you're going to be a bunny, you must dance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
A hop,
yeah.
Too,
no other
of course.
Way to do it.
You dance the bunny hop, I would think.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the dance. You only know
the
one dance. The bunny hop. It's all you do. It's your one thing.
Yes.
For me, it's the double dice shake, but that's another thing. That's all I got, double dice shake. So it's happening Saturday, March 30th. The registration has already started, right?
Yeah.
And you can register at Zach Gordon. Where else can people go online and things like that, too, or just in person, or how do you do it?
You can go online and print it off, but you have to either drop it off with the payment at Zach Gordon Youth Center or the Parks and Rec main office.
Okay.
And for anyone who doesn't know where Zach Gordon is located, we share the same parking lot as Centennial Hall and Bullwinkle's and the Jack. And so we're just across the parking lot with the blue roof.
Blue roof over blue there, roof. Yep. And lots of happy kids hanging around there at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. You can always recognize it by that as well.
Yes.
And just drop off the paperwork and sign up however many kids you want to sign up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Up to 10-year-olds?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Up to 10-year-olds. And I also wanted to add that this year we're going to have the Thunder Mountain High School softball team. They're going to be serving as a fundraiser for their program, Breakfast on the Go. So they're going to have coffee, hot cocoa, and muffins. So that's going to be new this year. And
all right.
Hopefully that'll help the parents calm the hungry kids.
Yeah, calm them down. Just
or at
full
least
of candy.
Balance out that candy.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
some actual food. That
hey,
might
it's
be
one
nice.
Day. Let them go nuts.
Yeah.
All right. So Easter egg hunt. It's happening. It's going to be happening out at Thunder Mountain, but it's all done by Zach Gordon Youth Center, and you can turn in your form over at Zach Gordon Youth Center. Just $5 per person. Mm-hmm. And Donnie and Jesse, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about it.
Thank you.
All right. Super fun to hear about the Easter egg hunt there. Once again, the forecast today in Juneau for the rest of today is increasing clouds. There's a storm coming, folks. It's going to be windy tonight with snow in the evening and snow early and then late. Snow accumulation up to 3 inches and windy weather downtown and in Douglas with wind gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Friday, it's going to be locally windy with more snow. Snow accumulation 2 to 4 inches on Friday. And then getting up to, 3 to 7 inches total accumulation for this storm that's coming through tonight and through Friday. Snow showers are going to be happening through Friday night, and then mostly cloudy skies on Saturday with some scattered snow showers. And then even some rain showers happening down here at sea level. But, up in the mountains, it's going to be all snow. So great stuff happening up on Eagle Crest. Really cool. But down here at the sea level, it's a strong wind advisory and winter weather advisory happening from 4 a.m. tonight, 4 a.m. Friday morning, that is, to 7 p.m. on Friday. Right now, here's Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keeler. We'll be back with more guests talking about the Poetry Slam and also Nancy DeCherney talking about Arts Up. Coming up for the rest of Juneau Afternoon, here's Garrison Keeler.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 14th of March, 2013. The birthday of Sylvia Beach, born in Baltimore, 1880. 1987. She went over to Paris. She opened a bookstore lending library on the left bank called Shakespeare and Company. She sold English language books there. And there, in 1920, she met James Joyce just as he was finishing Ulysses. He couldn't get it published because all the big publishers thought it was too obscene. So even though she had never published a book before, Sylvia Beach offered to publish it for him and also edit the manuscript herself. And it came out on Joyce's birthday, February 2nd, 1922. She got in trouble during the Nazi occupation. A German officer came to the store in 1941, wanted to buy the copy of Finnegan's Wake that was on display in the window. She refused to sell it to him, and then she closed down the store. She had hired an 18-year-old Jewish girl as her assistant, and the Nazis had warned Sylvia to get rid of the girl. Sylvia refused. The girl was put on a train to Poland, never heard from again, and Sylvia Beach was sent to an internment camp for 6 months. Ernest Hemingway wrote about Sylvia Beach, "She had pretty legs, and she was kind, cheerful, and interested, and loved to make jokes and gossip. No one that I ever knew was nicer to me." It's the birthday of Albert Einstein, born in Ulm, Germany, 1879. He was a good student, despite what you've heard, always a star at math and physics, but he was cocky and somewhat disrespectful of his teachers. He thought he knew more than they did, and he may have been right. So none of his professors wanted to write him a recommendation, so he couldn't get a good job. Instead, he got a job as a clerk in the Swiss Patent Office in Bern, which actually suited him pretty well. The work was not hard, and he was able to spend time on his own scientific ideas. In 1905, he had a great year, published 4 important scientific papers in just a few months, including his theory of special relativity with the famous equation E equals mc squared. He was just 26 years old. Quit his job in 1909, became a professor of physics in Zurich, worked on his general theory of relativity, which came out in 1916. And then in 1919, 2 astronomers in different parts of the world observed a total solar eclipse that verified one of Einstein's theories. And this was noted around the world, and he became world famous. Came to America for a lecture tour in 1921. A big crowd of reporters met him at the boat in Battery Park in Manhattan. Huge crowds filled all his lectures and public appearances. He was famous for having done something that so few people could understand. And Einstein was good at self-promotion. He was a natural speaker, and he was very happy to be photographed, riding a bicycle or sticking out his tongue. He had wild, goofy hair, and it became his trademark. Here's a poem for today by Wendell Berry, entitled Goods. It's the immemorial feelings I like the best. Hunger, thirst, their satisfaction, work, weariness, earned rest, the falling again from loneliness to love, the green growth the mind takes from the pastures in March, the gaiety in the stride of a good team of Belgian mares that seems to shudder from me through all my ancestry. Goods, poem by Wendell Berry, from his new collected poems published by Counterpoint Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Kathy Roach and Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Well, Writer's Almanac there with Garrison Keillor, talking all about poetry, of course, as he does every day. And we're talking about poetry here at Juno Afternoon with the folks from Whoosh Canadae Poetry Slam. It's coming up. Bill Merck and DJ Durego are here with me. How's it going, guys?
Very well.
Thanks
going
so
really
much
well,
for
yeah.
coming in.
Thanks
really
for,
appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having us.
How did you both get involved in doing Poetry Slam? Bill, I'll start with you. How did you? How did that come to be something that you have a passion for?
Well, I've been writing for quite some time, and I used to, when I lived in Seattle 30 years ago, there were some slams happening there. I just participated more as a voyeur,
put it that way.
It was very intimidating. Moved to Juneau, found out that this was going to be happening in 2010, figured it might be fun just to go watch a couple times, eventually participate. Very supportive group, very welcoming. So just thought I'd give it a shot, and I haven't looked the other way since.
Yeah. What do you get? You're a writer, and then the slam part of it is really performing your writing reciting it, or what do you get further out of it from actually performing the writing that usually is such a quiet art form? It's usually this lonely, quiet thing to be a writer.
It's nice to have a deadline.
Yeah.
Deadlines are good. To get out and actually work, because it'd be easy not to.
Right.
That's one thing. And I enjoy getting up in front of people and chatting anyway. So so does DJ, I know. It's great to perform.
Yeah. Well, DJ, tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get into this?
Poetry hugely started out for me as kind of like it was mostly like therapy, you know, and just kind of like little torment. Like divorced parents, very classic, you know.
Sure, yeah.
So like kind
okay.
of channeling that kind of like confusion into that. And so I've been doing it for years, but never actually really shared it until I ended up going to one of the Woosh Kanata A slams. And I had brought some stuff just in case. I was inspired to share. And I was, of course, because just being there, it's, you know, a wonderful experience. And I shared it once. And
so
then
instead
I just,
of it being, so instead of it being kind of like this thing like, oh boy, I don't know, it became this thing like, I got to get up there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like going to, with your friends, and you're like, I'm gonna stop by this party. I'm gonna stop by, you know, just say hey, and then you end up, you know, like
hanging
just going
out.
Crazy
yeah,
for the
yeah.
entire night. You're the crazy one, you know. Everyone's like, whoa, you know, where did that come from?
Get off the table.
Yeah, you become the loud one all of a sudden, and yeah, that's kind of how it happened. It just kind of sucked me in, and I've been going back, you know, month after month after month since, and. Even just watching, you know, being as involved in it as I am now, still just taking the time to like sit and watch it is just a moving experience every single time, and it's so different each slam that it really is like a new experience every time.
How would you define slam versus just poetry recital? What's different there about the two things?
I guess when I say slam, I kind of refer to the entirety of the events. There is a slam portion. It's a very friendly competition with just a bunch of really open-minded. Beautiful individuals, and I guess when I say slam, it's the open mic too. You have people come up to the open mic, you know, who haven't quite worked up to slamming yet, and they'll blow you away every single time. It's really enjoyable to see so many different, you know, aspects of the community just like coming in and merging together. It's really amazing.
Bill, tell me about these different terms and how the evenings are kind of divided up. So there's an open mic, and that. So tell me what those different things mean.
The way it starts, the way it'll go tomorrow night, we'll have a sign-up sheet at 6 o'clock, and we're downtown at the library. We'll have a sign-up sheet at 6. At 6:30, we'll start what's called the open mic, and that'll be open to the first 8 people who sign up. You have 3 minutes to get up and recite whatever you want. It doesn't even have to be your own work, your choice, whatever you're comfortable doing. We'll go through those first 8 performers. We'll take a break. And then we'll start the Poetry Slam portion of the show. There'll be 8 performers. We do it in 3 rounds. Everybody gets 1 poem to start. You do your 3 minutes. It has to be original work. We go through 8 people. We have judges there that we'll pick from the audience. The judges will give us their scores. We'll narrow it down to 4. We'll do it again. Everybody gets another shot. Those 4 performers, then we narrow it down to 2. And then it's just a poetry one-on-one. You know, whoever gets the most points goes home with 25 bucks.
All right.
You know, 25 bucks and you get to be famous for a month.
2 men enter, 1 man leaves.
That's exactly right.
it's the Thunderdome.
And the fun thing about the open mic is you can do maybe a poem. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be original work in the open mic. It doesn't even have to be poetry. You can go up and you can, you know, you sing a song and just really do anything that you can do with a mic. I think there's been talk of, someone hula hooping at the open mic. You know, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm hoping one of these days.
Beatboxing? I'd love to hear
you
that.
Could go up and beatbox.
You could do that. We had somebody do stand-up comedy once, which was kind of fun.
Yeah. So the open mic is it really is just that. Like, it's a mic that's open to absolutely anything. And it's great.
But intimidating in a way, right? So there's that little thing about you know, that's always the thing that's interesting to me, that people take that extra step and say, I'm going to take this thing that often is very personal and private, you know, these writings, especially as you were saying, some of the writings you were doing, kind of cathartic, personal experience writings, and then you look people in the eye and you recite these things that have before that time never been shown to anyone sometimes.
It starts that way. I mean, that's better. Right. You think that it would be that kind of experience, but you get up there and you just look at, like, you know, every individual in the crowd, and you kind of, like, skim the crowd, and you realize that these people are 100% supportive. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody there at all. I mean, the only person you would maybe have to prove yourself to is yourself. And that's really, like, and you know, meeting those goals that you set for yourself, like, I'm going to go and I'm going to share a poem, and then you share that poem, and it's so well received, and then everyone in there just loves it, and then they come up to you and they'll talk to you after about how great that was, and you know, share a story, or just, you know, kind of like what they're reminded of them. It's just, it's great. It's great. It really is parallel trails. You just kind of, you know, find out that you've been walking with somebody, only not exactly walking with them. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
One of the goals of our group, and we're a nonprofit now. We achieved nonprofit status in November. So there's a board. The DJ's on the board. I'm on the board. There's seven of us. One of the goals for our group is empowerment. You know, it's all about community involvement, empowering people. You know, we see 8-year-olds who want to come up and read, and they're shaken to death. You know, we're going to, as hosts, and DJ and I are the hosts tomorrow night, it's our job to bring them up, make them feel comfortable, giving them all the strength they need. And the audience is there for that, too. The audience isn't there just to watch. The audience is participating as well. You know, they're cheering you on. They're letting you know what they like. They're letting you know what they don't like sometimes. But like DJ says, it's a very welcoming group. It's the most fun in a competition you'll ever have.
Is it kind of all ages?
It is open to all ages and abilities. We've had a young woman who's 8.
Yeah.
How old is Ginny now? 8 years old?
8 or 11, yeah.
And she writes poems that are amazing. You know, the last poem she read, I think, was about this divorce. And it was like, where did this come from? You know, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that you're going to be up there on a month-to-month basis really does give you that inspiration, that drive to do your best work. I think the show last month was the best show I think we'd ever had. Every single person brought their A game, and the energy in that room, it was fantastic. We went almost, 4 hours, I think it was, last month. It was incredible.
Just, and that fantastic. One was done out at UAS.
It was at UAS with Sound in Motion, yeah.
This one is going to be done at the downtown library.
Right. Friends of the Library is letting us do this. Any donations that we receive will go toward Friends of the Library.
It is an utter joy to get all those poets in a library and just be as loud as they can. Sometimes we'll just stop the slam so we can make a bunch of noise in the library, because how many opportunities are you going to get to do that? This is number 2 that I can think of. So
we get to yell in the library.
Absolutely.
Let's do this. Well, it's happening this Friday, the 15th. Sign-ups are at 6 o'clock, and then the actual open mic starts it off at 6:30.
6:30, right.
And the optional theme is called Getting Lucky.
Getting lucky.
All right. That opens up lots of possibilities. Yeah, sure.
Any kind of luck you want to write about. And it's just a prompt. You really don't have to play off of that, but we try and give everybody a prompt just to kind of, you know, give them some ideas, some starting points.
Now, these things have been getting packed, right?
Yeah. It always surprises me, like, how we just get more and more people. Where are they coming from?
Right? Yeah, right.
It's interesting, because when you go to a venue like UAS, a lot more seating, right? You know, and it was packed. When we did the Grand Slam in October at the Jack, 200 people? I mean, it was filled, absolutely packed. And then we go to the Rookery, and it's hard to find a seat. So it depends on where the venue is, and it does change every month. But yeah, I don't think the fire marshal's real happy with us sometimes. But
that said, we actually did have a slam in a firehouse once,
yes,
so you can't be too mad.
Yes, we did.
And that was back too. We filled the most unusual places.
Yeah, very cool. All right, so it's all happening Friday. It starts at 6 o'clock is when the sign-ups are happening. Open mic starts at 6:30. And also should mention great music from DJ Manu as well, right?
Every
kinda
time.
Ties the evening
he's
together.
He's a big member of the family. He's a big supporter. I encourage everybody to go and visit his businesses and go to his events, because it would be a different slam without him. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great music always from DJ Manu. All right. Well, DJ and Bill, thanks so much for coming in, letting us know. It's the Wushka Nahide. I'm going to say it. Wait.
Okay.
Kinadei.
Yeah, that works. Very close.
Wushka Nahide.
Yes.
Poetry
there
slam.
There you go. And we'll see you guys
which
there, right?
Which means parallel paths, as we were saying. Yeah. There. Very parallel trails.
Sure.
Or parallel paths, yes.
Well, we'd like to invite you guys to come out.
All right.
You know, anybody wants to come by, we'll be there having
sounds
a good
like
time.
Sounds like an amazing time happening at the downtown library. These things get packed, folks. Get there early and check out the whole scene and check out the Poetry Slam happening Friday. Thanks, you guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, providing services for identification, evaluation, and rehabilitation for individuals with hearing difficulties. Located in the Jordan Creek Center. Information at 789-6780.
Tonight on 360 North, it's Rain Country Reflections at 8, followed at 8:30 by the Alaska Film Archives television series. At 9, join Ann Sechrist and her guest as they discuss Medicare on AARP Alaska. The Aviators begins at 9:30. Then the day's legislative coverage continues with Business from the Capitol on Gavel, Alaska at 10. That's all tonight on 360 North and 360north.org. Follow 360 North on Facebook and Twitter.
Going to be happening Friday at the downtown library, the Poetry Slam. Once again, the forecast for today calling for increasing clouds through this afternoon, although it's still gorgeous out today. You can see them coming down the channel, though. I'm looking down the channel. You can see the clouds coming. And highs around 27 degrees and northeast winds 10 to 20 miles an hour near downtown Juneau and Douglas. And northeast winds 10 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour here in downtown and Douglas. With us next is Nancy DeCherney joining us for Arts Up from the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. How you doing, Nancy?
I just blew
you
across
just blew
the street.
Is it a little breezy out there?
It's breezy, yeah.
Yeah, and you can see the storm coming down the channel there. Yeah. It's coming our way. It's a nor'easter blowing in.
It's the equinox. What can I say about that?
Nancy, what's going on in Arts Town? We just talked to Poetry Slam people about that happening on Friday. We talked to Easter Egg Hunt people about that happening out at Thunder Mountain.
And you reminded them not to put the eggs out too early because the ravens eat them.
Yes, that's right. Yes, they talked about the ravens and past Easter egg hunts gone awry because of the ravens, yeah. And also we just talked to Willie Weir, who's going to be doing a Frugal Cyclist Guide to the Universe tonight at Rockwell. So what else is on tap here
in
the arts
community?
Well, it's busy.
This is a intense weekend.
I know. Well, we could start with the headliner.
Okay.
Which is Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Right.
Sold out.
Sold out, but that doesn't mean we won't get you in. So
come on over to the high school, right, and line up.
Yeah, you know, we've had sellouts before. I've never not gotten everybody in that wants to come. So the deal is you need to come. The concert is at 3 o'clock, and I want to make sure most people know that. That's a weird time for a concert.
It's a weird time, but it's for that. They're a big group. They had to get in and get back out.
We're just lucky we got them.
Yeah, that's right. Don't complain.
Don't complain. So, and the exciting part is that it's also the first day of gold medal. So it is going to be a madhouse at the Commons area, but the Lions Club is working really hard with us, and we're going to choreograph a nice little way to get where you're going. You can use the parking over at the Voc Tech Center. Just beware that it's going to be pretty. You'll see everyone you know.
Right.
So
and just
come
make
on,
sure Lay Smith, Black Mambazo go in the right door, or else they're part of the tournament. All of a sudden, the next thing they know, what's going on?
Yes, hey. But yeah, we're very excited about that.
All right.
So you've
that's going to be great. Oh, I'm so excited about that. It's going to be so fun. Yeah, very cool.
Tonight is the last pay-as-you-can preview for seminar. Am I right about that? Yeah, I've got a seminar person over there.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you've already talked about those things. We've got Equivocation and Seminar, both two theater pieces running through the weekend. You know, folks, just because they're running for the weekend and they'll run another one doesn't mean you should put it off.
No, that's right. Go support Perseverance Theater.
I went to see the seminar piece, and it is funny.
I saw it opening night. I got to work on it, too. I got to do sound design for it.
The music was wonderful.
So I was really excited about that. But guffawing. People grabbing their stomachs laughing. Literally. I mean, it was
very funny.
Yeah, especially in these. There's certain points where there's just a crescendo of really funny stuff going on.
Yeah.
But a very smart, witty, interesting play. Very contemporary, very cool play. Yeah.
So do that if you need a good yuck, okay? I'm not sure. I haven't seen the Equivocation yet, so I can't talk about that one.
Although that's, always great. Theater in the Rough does amazing
stuff and exciting things.
Yep.
So we get through the weekend. We got Spaceballs, speaking of funny, over at the Canvas Movie Night, Friday night at 6 p.m.
Say what? With Dark Helmet? All right. I love it.
And if you want something more serious, you can go out to the Forest Service Fireside Chat at 6:30 or at 8. And they're talking about calving glaciers making a big splash. At 7:30 at the Jack, it is the Wind Ensemble. It's a pay-as-you-can concert.
Nice.
Should be delightful. There's a beatdown at 8 o'clock.
All right. A little bit of roughhouse box in there.
Something completely different.
Right. All right.
There's a run Saturday morning, Flanagan's Run. It's start at the Douglas Fire Hall. It's 1 or 5 miles. There's a spring equinox jamboree out at the Saga Eagle Center. Oh, my goodness. There's storytelling and digital illustration with Sarah Asper Smith at the museum. This is the Coffee and Collection.
Yeah, I got to talk to her yesterday about it. Sounds really fun. Visual storytelling, and she'll talk about fonts.
I love
and
fonts.
And other things.
I'm a total font freak.
Yeah. Papyrus is like, no.
Oh, no. Hey, did you see the movie Helvetica? Speaking
of
that, if you like fonts, you should see that.
Right.
Okay, then. 2 p.m., the Juno Garden Club program is on Primroses. That's the Bill Ray Center upstairs. It's Bacon Fest.
Bacon Fest.
Another sold out. Big
sold
fat event.
Out at the Jack. But they are sold out through Glacier Valley Rotary.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for the Paul Harris polio stuff. And if you didn't get tickets and you really wish you had gotten tickets, they're doing a wait list. I think if you come at 5:15, they'll start the wait list there. And that's at the Jack. Who can sleep through bacon? Bacon's so good.
Bacon Fest.
Bacon and everything. I think that they're making bacon ice cream, in fact. It's the 28th annual Sham Jam Zombie Apocalypse, hosted by the Young Democrats at the Canvas at 8 p.m. There's Fire on McGinnis at 9 p.m. It's a Paddy's Party at Rockwell. This is a fundraiser for the King Island Christmas Expedition that's going on. And let's see. And then they toddle down to the Rendezvous and have a Paddy's Party down there because Sunday is, in fact, St. Patrick's Day. So gold medal. And there's also a Native Dancers Market over at the Jack during the day on Sunday. That's open to the public. And they've done it several times. It's very, very fun and lots of really interesting arts and crafts that are available there. So go there. We've talked about all the other fun things. There's a tap dance class at 6 o'clock. The Juno Symphony winter concerts are at Glacier Valley School at 4:30 on Sunday. Pay as you can.
All right.
All right. Where are you going to the spring break?
Spring break. That's a good reminder. Spring break.
Spring break. I remember those.
Yeah. I seem to remember having fun.
So there's a whole bunch of things to do for spring break if you need something for the kids. Perseverance is doing a bunch of things. Go onto our website, and we have them all listed out there, so you can get that information. There's a whole thing about mummies. There's a Mountain Savvy workshop up at Eagle Crest. But Poetry Out Loud is on Tuesday.
Okay.
This is a national competition. This is the statewide finals. This is, I think, 10 kids from all over the state are coming, kids from Ninilchik. I mean, these are the regional winners. They're coming here, and they will compete to win the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., and compete for a $20,000 scholarship.
Now, I can't recommend this highly enough, to go to this event. It is so fun to go see these kids from all over Alaska who have just dedicated themselves to the interpretation of this one poem that they've been working on. It's wonderful.
And it's recitation, so they have memorized the poetry, and then they speak it out. It's not really acted out.
No, right.
It is recited, and like you said, I'm not exactly a poetry fan myself. If you had said, you want to do this, I would think, I don't know. But having been to it, I have to say, and I have board members who said this, that they went just because they were board members, they thought they should represent, they were only going to stay for a moment, now they come every year, there's tears in their eyes, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and some of the poems you'll have recognized, some of them are sort of standards that you'll recognize, some you have never heard before, and even the ones that you maybe even know by heart, to see a young person interpret that in their own way and bring their own depth of meaning to it is really a special thing. So, yeah, anyway, Poetry Out Loud is a great thing to go to. Yeah,
it's powerful.
It's great.
And do come down and support it. It's Natalia Spengler, this the Juno representative, so we want to support her in her efforts. Let's see, we got Generator Theater doing Keep Coming Back Because. This is on Wednesday at 7 o'clock at Rockwell. This is Ryan and Sarah Conroe doing something. I'm not sure what.
Yes. No, they've talked to me about this. This sounds like a fun, cool thing that they're doing. Yeah, yeah.
Also on Wednesday at 7 p.m., there's an Americana from Nashville to Alaska. C. Scott Fry, is that who
C. Scott Fry and Harrison B. doing both presenting. It's part of the Karenin Music Series happening at Goldtown Nickelodeon. And, it's a very cool, very fun thing. This series has been great. You know, it's just brought a whole variety of very cool music. And what's so cool about this series that I love is that you get the opportunity to watch, even if it's people you've seen before, so maybe you've seen C. Scott Fry or Harrison B. play before in town, but you've seen them in environments where people are all there having side conversations, because typically it's at a bar or something, mm-hmm. or a party. And this is a time when you go and you listen to them. And so everyone is listening to them, and you realize, wow, these guys are great, you know, because everyone's just listening like a real concert. And so it's really fun to hear stuff in that atmosphere, and the Goldtown Nickelodeon is a great place to go see people.
Yeah, it's nice and intimate. We got some things coming up there pretty soon. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, Katie Bosler is going to be hosting that event, and that's the other thing, is that Katie asks great questions about how these different musicians develop their style or found the different types of music that they're into, and that's really fascinating to hear from artists. So it's great. It's a great show.
So that gets us to Thursday. There's a Third Thursday Family Night out at the Valley Library. There's some roller skating. Again, you can see Keep Coming Back Again. Powder Chicks, there's a extreme skiing for women, I believe it is.
Oh, very good.
Anything else? Do we have more stuff to talk? Do we have more time?
Do we have some more time if you want to talk about any bigger issues or other stuff going on with the Jack?
People know that we have the major grant. Scholarships and individual artist grants are posted now, and they are due April 1st. So if you're interested in getting a grant or a fine arts scholarship.
Shona Strouser, who's sitting in with us today, I see her writing that down right now as an artist herself. Yes.
So that those kids who are in seventh grade on through age 25, still in college, can apply for the fine arts scholarships from us. And this is what the wearable art money goes to. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank everybody that helps with that. Also,
you're welcome.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Then on April 15th, we also have the gallery applications. Or do we take applications for exhibits in our gallery starting from next September around to the following August? We also, this is our year for the juried art show that we do. We do that every other year. Nick Galanin from Sitka is going to be the juror this year. And so that show will be the June show in our thing. So if you're interested in applying for that, go online to do that. We have a magic show coming.
All right.
I love magic shows.
Magic shows. Yes.
Yes. This is Richard Hatch. He is actually a physicist who does all sorts of things. He's actually known around the world. He speaks five languages. He has translated magic books from all over the country,
sounds
all over the world.
Sounds a lot like me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Multi-talented.
Yes. Five languages.
Anyway, he's coming April 30th to the Jack.
Okay.
And so put that, that's a Tuesday, it's
note
an odd
that
day.
One, yeah.
Yeah, put that down as something you might want to do that'll be different and fun and whatever. Let's see, we also want to get ready for Community Day on campus.
Okay.
May 18th.
All right.
I like to plan ahead.
Yes, May 18th. Put that, mark that one down.
Well, you know.
Yes, that's good. Nancy DeCharney from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. In the background right now, we've been listening to Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes, maybe the thing that people most know Ladysmith Black Mambazo from, the Paul Simon great album of Graceland, and that's what we're listening to in the background. Go see them in person here in Juno. It's so exciting to say that, happening on Sunday. Nancy DeCharney, Juno Arts and Humanities Council, thanks so much for coming in. She said you've taken me for granted because I please you. Wearing these diamonds. And that's it for a Juno afternoon today. Thanks to all my guests. Get ready for the snow, folks. It's coming tonight and tomorrow. Total accumulation up to about 7 inches. And thanks so much for joining me today. What I'm talking about. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear.